Bruchim Habayim, very exciting because it's Parsha Insights, Parsha's Vayikra, which means whenever we start one of the new Svarim, we're able to start one of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, now Vayikra, the third one. We offer a tefillah, we should be zeiche to start it, to learn it, to complete it. So much of Vayikra dealing with the Karbonos. Chazal tell us that when you speak about the Karbonos and you learn the Karbonos, in many ways it's like you are makriv the Karbonos and you actually bring the sacrifices. We should be zeiche to start and learn and complete Sefer Vayikra, and we should merit the Geula Shalema, where we don't just learn about the Karbonos, but we actually see it in the third and everlasting Beis HaMikdash. Parsha Insights is sponsored L'Zeiche Nishmas U'Le'ili Nishmas. Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, their Neshama Tahira should have a lichtig, Gan Eden. This week is also sponsored anonymously. Le'iloi Nishmas Miriam Zlata Bas Reb Moshe, whose yard site was the 6th of Adar. So again, keep in mind the name. Le'zecher Nishmas U'Le'iloi Nishmas Miriam Zlata Bas Reb Moshe. And Be'ezus Hashem, as we're beginning Vayikra, we should be zeicha to learn and to get chizuk and enhance our Shabbos Kodesh throughout the entire Sefer Vayikra. And opening the pasuk, the parsha tells us, Hashem says, Dabro b'nei Yisrael, to tell Klal Yisrael, Odom ki'akriv makem korban Hashem. Here we're introduced to the concept of bringing karbonim. Etymologically, the root of the word karbon, kuf reish beis, is korev, to get close. There are many types of karbonos. You learn Masechta Zochim and Nochais. There's an entire potpourri of karbonos that are brought. A person could bring a shlomim, a chatos, an oila, a nether, an adava, many, many types of karbonos. In fact, my father's atzal, in an extraordinary pshat, I believe it is from the Vilna Gaon that when we say the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the opening word Shema and the last word Echad reference all of the Karbonos. Shema is spelled Shin Mem Ayin, which stands for Shlomim, Mincha, and Oila, three prominent types of Karbonos. The last word, Echad, Aleph Ches Dalet, stands for Osham Chatos and Dalet Lachmei Toida, that accompanies certain Karbonos. I believe that Pshat is from the Vilna Goyin Zechusa Yagan Aleinu. When we say Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, our most powerful Pasuk, Shema in Echad, the opening word and the final word, Shin Mem Ayin, Shlomim, Mincha Oila, Echad, Osham, Chatos, Dal Lachmei Toida. So we see it's a reference to all of the Karbonos. The root, as we said a moment ago, is the word Karoid, to get close. Today, when we don't have Karbonos, and please hear this next sentence clearly, for we'll tie into the end of this year. Today, when we don't have Karbonos, we have Tefillah. Tefillah is B'mokum Karbonos instead of Karbonos. And obviously, when we daven, Karev, the point is to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an interesting Rashi. Rashi tells us, the Pasuk says, Odom kiyakriv mikem. When a person will bring from among you, a person will bring an offering, notice that it talks about a person by using the word Odom. So if you take a look, Rashi tells us that this word Adam is a reference to Adam HaRishon, the first man. Look at Rashi inside. And Rashi tells us, just as Adam HaRishon, the original man, anything that he offered to Hashem would have been his own, it would not have been stolen, as the entire world was entrusted to him, so too when we offer karbanos, when we offer animals, they must be from our own, they cannot be stolen. That's Rashi. There's an extraordinary Zohar. The Zohar tells us, whereas Rashi says the word Adam, remember the Pasuk again from the beginning of the Parsha, Adam ki yakri mikhen karbon, when a man, someone from among you, will bring a carbon. So we're discussing now why the usage of the word Adam. Whereas Rashi tells us it's a reference and an allusion to Adam Arishon, the first man, the Zohar says not like that. The Zohar tells us, and I quote, Adam ki yakrav mikem, when a man will bring a carbon, this Adam, loy Adam kadma'a, it's not the original man, v'loy Adam basra'a, nor is it the final man. Now what does the Zohar mean? But it's the middle man? In other words, what does the Zohar mean? Are there three categories of Adam? There's the Adam Kadma'a, the Adam Basra'a, and the Zohar says that this Adam that the Pasuk is referencing, Adam Kiyak Mikem Karban, the one who's going to bring the Karban to Hashem, is not the first, the original, nor the last, but it's the middle one. There are three categories. The middle one brings the Karban. What does the Zohar mean? The Sefer Ateres Mordechai, the Mordechai Rogov, brings down something that's not only a tremendous pshat, but I find it to be so inspiring, and I think it's so apropos for as we're mamish holding by Tainus Esther, Parsha Zohar, eradicating Amalek, Purim, Shushan Purim, follow along and enjoy. Ateres Mordechai says, there is something called the Adam Kadma'a, the original, and there's certainly something called the Adam Basra, the final. But the ultimate carbon is not going to be brought by the first and the last. Whereas that is special, it's not entirely impressive. And he explains, Adam Kadma'a is a reference to Adam Arishon, the first man. He found himself in Gan Eden. In other words, I'm referring to Adam Arishon. He did find himself in Gan Eden. To bring a carbon in that situation is something, but you cannot say it's so entirely special. He was in a place of the Shekhinah. He was in a place of Gan Eden where you literally heard the voice of Hashem. For that man, Adam Arishon, the Adam Kadma'a, to recognize Hashem, and thereby have the need to offer a sacrifice of carbon, was something, but it wasn't extraordinary. Similarly, you have Adam Basra'a. What does it mean? The final man? Again, special, but not entirely remarkable. It's not going to have extreme greatness and importance. What does it mean, the final man? It means the one who sees when Mashiach is here and the Golus has ended and now sees an end of all the suffering. He's privileged to see the ultimate glory of Hashem. He now lives in a world, Ki Mala Harad Deya. It's a world that's infused with Chachma, infused with wisdom, infused with knowledge. You know all those questions, or I shouldn't say all those questions, but the famous questions of Tzadik V'Raloi, Rosh HaVetoivloi, why does a Tzadik suffer? Why does the evil man have it so good? That Adam Basra'a, that man at the end, has all those questions answered. They're all answered. They're all understood. The entire tapestry of our long history of Golos is revealed for that person in all of its beauty. So once again, for him to bring a carbon at that point is nice, but you wouldn't say it's the biggest deal. You wouldn't say it's the greatest value or the greatest contribution. Obviously, you're going to be aware of the majestic governing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could one not be? So that says the Ateres Mordechai is what the Zohar means. The unique carbon is not brought by Adam Kadma'a, nor is it brought by Adam Basra'a. For the original man, Adam Harishain, and the final man, Adam Basra'a, while it's something, it's not the ultimate level. But we are living in the middle. We are living in the middle of it all. We are living in middle of the Golos. And obviously, since October 7th, we feel it on a much, much deeper and greater level in Kamos and in Eichos, in quantity and in quality. we're able to bring a carbon, when we, in this situation, where we don't have all of the presence of the Shekhinah and the revelation that Adam HaRishon had, and we don't have what Adam Basra'a will have, we in our situation, even when there's Hester Ponim, when there's concealment, even when there's darkness, even when there's a cloudy vision, we still have a life that's devoted to Torah and Mitzvahs. That's what makes our carbon so uniquely special. I hope you realize and appreciate the extreme profundity of the vort of the Ateres Mordechai in explaining the Zohar. The Zohar says the Adam whose carbon is most cherished, most treasured by Hashem, the greatest level of importance, loy Adam kadma'a, the loy Adam basra'a, but rather you. You, your carbon, and that's what the pasuk means, Dabar al b'nei Yisrael, tell Klal Yisrael that as they're going through the long and funereal goals, as things seem so cloudy and so dark, as there seems to be so much Hester Ponim, such a great amount of concealment, they nevertheless lead a life so devoted to Torah and to mitzvahs and to avodas Hashem, v'amarta aleihem, tell them, Adam, that middleman, that middle person who's living through the middle part of this world, kiyakriv mikem. And kiyakriv mikem not only means the middle person, but kiyakriv mikem means that he brings himself, despite the great hardships, despite all of the trials, the travails, and the tribulations, and that's the one that's most desired by Hashem. What an extraordinary, extraordinary pshat. I'll tell you why that pshat is so uplifting. Because every one of us, we are all, each one of us are that Adam. Adam doesn't have a plural. We know that the word Ish has a plural Anoshim. Gever has a plural Givarim. Adam has no plural. For all of us collectively and all of us individually, we are that middle Adam. We are that person who finds himself in middle of the concealment. And what do we bring? Mikem. We bring ourselves. We bring our devotion. We bring everything that we can. Might I show you the word mikem? Mem chof mem is the gematria of 100. Mem chof mem is 100. The word mikem has the numeric value of 100. Maybe it's to teach us, according to the Pshat from the Ateres Mordechai, whatever level we're on, whatever our background is, whatever our struggles might be, if we try to give mikem 100%, mem chof mem is the gematria of 100, to allude to that fact, whatever level we're on, whatever difficulties we have, some people can accomplish one thing and others far, far less. But mikem is the numeric value of 100. Try to give 100%. For it is that carbon that comes despite the great hardships that is most desired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It certainly speaks volumes about the situation we find ourselves in, especially when I mentioned to you a moment ago, we don't have the karbonis, we have the tefillah, we have the davening. When we could turn to Hashem, not with the advantages that the Adam Kadma'a had, nor with the advantages that the Adam Basra'a will have, but on our level, as the middle person with our hardships and difficulties, and we still turn to Hashem, mikem, and we give 100% of what we can, that is most beloved and desired by Hashem. I mentioned a moment ago, whatever a person does, on whatever level they're on, try to give mikem a reference to 100%. If you take a look in Megillas Esther, as we approach Purim Tavshin Pei Dalet, if you take a look in Megillas Esther, the Megillah tells us, the Gemara, I should say, on Dav Yud Beis Amid Alf, Kirtzein Mordechai V'Haman, something extraordinary. At this feast of Achashverosh, Mordechai was there as the Sar HaMashkim. the one in charge of the wines. He served the wine. The Gemara explains, he did that to make sure that the yayin wouldn't be yayin nesach. Yayin nesach is something is touched or handled by a non-Jew. Therefore, he was the one in charge of the wine. Additionally, we find Chazal tell us, he is the one by the town or by the oven that started the fire, so that it would be Pas Yisrael. It wouldn't be Bishul Akum. It wouldn't be something that was cooked by a non-Jew or Pas Akum, but rather Pas Yisrael. That's what Chazal teach us. Now, really, you have to wonder. I don't understand. Such terrible things were taking place at the Suda of Achashverosh. What Klal Yisrael was involved with and their presence there and their mingling with everyone was extraordinarily terrible. And yet we find the Gemara tells us that Mordechai was there as a Sar Hamashkim so that the Yayin wouldn't be Yayin Nesach. And he was there to start the tanur or the oven so that it would be Bishul Yisrael and Pas Yisrael, and not by a non-Jew. One has to wonder, with all of the terrible things about our being at the Suda of Achashverosh, his feast, would that really make a difference? Would it really make a difference if the Yayin is Yayin Nesach, or certainly if the Pas and Bishul is Yisrael instead of Akum? Like, does that even make it onto the radar? It would seem so insignificant compared to everything else. We're approaching now the second yard site of the Sar HaTaira, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zeched Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. Reb Chaim Zeched Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha says in Sefer Taima Dekra, he essentially asks the question we just asked, and I'd like to quote his answer as brought down in Sefer Tal Le'Yiris. Reb Chaim explains, addressing this question, why was it so important for Mordechai to be in charge of the Yayin to make sure that it wasn't Yayin Nesach, and in charge of the Tanur to make sure that it wasn't Bishul or Pas Akum, but rather Yisrael? Reb Chaim says, and I read the words, She'ad kama she'efsher lahatzil, sorech lahatzil. Whatever you can save and salvage, don't give up. You have to save and salvage. Da'ad kama she'efsher lahatzil, sorech lahatzil. It's such a powerful explanation. Sometimes a person might be steeped in different aveiros or different challenges and think to themselves, well, I've already done this, that, and the other incorrect. Is this going to make a bit of difference, this 1%? I fill in the blank yourself. I've missed 90% of my rib. So is it going to make a difference if I make it for the last amen? Or the last minute of the shir? I've made so many aveiros or whatever my stakes again and again. Is this small thing that seems to us to be so seemingly inconsequential, is it really going to make a difference? Reb Chaim Zeched Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha establishes the yesod and the fundamental concept, the ma she'efsher lahatzil, sorech lahatzil. What you can save and salvage, you must save and salvage. And although Klal Yisrael's being at the Suda of Achashverosh was terrible, and the mingling, and the aveiros that we committed, but if you could save and salvage that the Yayin won't be Yayin Nesach, and if you could save and salvage that the Bishul in the Pas won't be Akum, then save and salvage it. D'masha efshir lahatzil tzarech lahatzil. I think these are words to live every day of our life with. D'masha efshir lahatzil tzarech lahatzil. And look at Sudas Achashverosh with all the Averis that were being committed. But there's something you could save? There's something you could salvage? Be it whatever it might be, 1%, 2%, as my father Zatzal would say, but you're salvaging 100% of the 1%. Don't view it as 1% of 100. It's 100% of the 1%. And if you could save and salvage it, then do it. And this is something, as I said a moment ago, every day of our lives, stop and think, Rabbi, say about what I'm saying. On days where we perhaps make mistakes or do things that we shouldn't, it might be an aveira bein adam la'machom bein adam la'chaver bein adam la'atzmai, between ourselves and Hashem, interpersonal relationships, whatever it might be. Instead of throwing in the towel and saying, well, the day is just about done, you could save something. You could salvage 100% of the 1%. We learn that from the fact that Mordechai was chosen to be the Sar HaMashkim and the one in charge of starting the oven. And I believe that is the way to tie back into what the Ateris Mordechai says from the Zohar. The advantage of the carbon is not from the Adam Kadma'a, nor for the Adam Basra'a, but we the middle one, we who have the challenges, we who sometimes feel the darkness and the concealment, we who have to bring mikem, try to put in 100% effort, even if it's just 1%, for whatever you could salvage is worth perhaps everything. There's a maisa that my father, Zatzal, said over countless times. I wouldn't even be able to tell you how often it was said. I'm sure I've said it here in the past. It is one of the most beautiful, absolutely beautiful stories we've ever shared. And I think it ties the whole shiur together before we bring it to the final part. One of the great Hasidic masters was a Kapishnitzer Rebbe. The Kapishnitzer Rebbe was on the Lower East Side, and it was Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. And it was the afternoon when there is the time between Musaf has ended, Mincha hasn't started. And he was walking on the street, you could imagine, wearing his pristine white kittel. He must have looked like the Kohen Gadol. And as the Kapishnitzer Rebbe is walking on Yom HaKippurim on the street, between the break, he's walking with one or two of his gabayim. He passes a restaurant, and inside the restaurant, but by the window, he sees a yid, and the yid is eating on Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaKadosh, gluttonously, with a sense of being deliberate. And the Kapishnitzer Rebbe walks in, and he says to the yid, he puts his hand on the shoulders of the person, and he says to him, Gudjomtif Reb Yid, un esmit appetit. Gudjomtif, and eat with a hearty appetite. And then he walked out, and the Gabbai, of course, turned to the great Kapishnitzer Rebbe and said, you know, that's not what we would have said to the man. I could think of tons of things we would have said, and it wouldn't have been that. So he questioned and asked the Rebbe, it's Yom Kippur, he's eating so deliberately, and the Rebbe says to him, Esmet Appetit? And the Rebbe explains so beautifully, on Yom HaKippurim, somebody gets punished for their Averis, either as a Mumer Lahachis or a Mumer L'Teyavon. Mumer Lahachis means that you sin deliberately. Mumer L'Teyavon is a lower level where you sin out of temptation and giving in to your desire. Both are bad, but obviously the first gets punished far more severe. When I passed the restaurant and I looked through the window, I saw that that yid was eating on Yom Kippur deliberately. And that means that he was going to get punished as the more severe Mumer Lahachis, the deliberate, intentional sinner. And I couldn't handle that. I didn't want that. So I walked in and I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, Gudjomtif Reb Yid, un esmet appetit, eat with a hearty appetite. Because now if he eats with a hearty appetite, so to speak, he's downgraded from the more severe Mumer Lahachis to the lesser, Mumr l'tayavon, where one sins because he's giving in to a temptation and a desire. And so I said those words so that his punishment would be downgraded from the more severe mumr l'hachas to the less severe mumr l'tayavon. Could you imagine that, Maisa? Could you imagine that story, the great Kafishan Sereba passing the restaurant on Yom HaKippurim? What would have we have thought when we saw that yid? What would we have said about that person? What would we have said to him? What does the Kafishan Sereba have on his mind? Whatever can be saved and salvaged, you must save and salvage. And if I could get 100% of 1%, that's what I will do. If I could downgrade his punishment from the more severe mumr l'hachas to the less severe mumr l'tayavayin, ma'ashe efshir l'hatzil tzorech l'hatzil. I do believe that's what makes our carbon, as the middle of the three Adam, during the time in history that we are living through, I believe that's what makes our carbon and our service to the Ribbono Shel Olam so cherished, so desired, and so beloved. Didn't we begin this year by saying that the word carbon is etymologically from the word karev, to get close? The greater the struggle, the closer that we can get. And it's precisely because of the hardships and the difficulty and the concealment and the hester upon him, and we still try to excel in our avodas Hashem, to put in mikem, mem chof mem, 100%, that I believe is what makes our karbon, our service, our avoda, our tefillos, our prayers, the most cherished and beloved. And that brings me to the final part of the shir. I hope Be'ezras Hashem, while it won't be in all of the detail that I'm about to speak out, but in less detail, I hope Be'ezras Hashem to send out a video tomorrow, which is right before Tainus Esther, similar to our weekly TMT. I'll give you a little bit of the background to the video that I hope to send out tomorrow, but here in the shir, you'll be getting it with some of the details that may not be included there. You may or may not recall that a couple years ago I sent out a video before Tainus Esther. I had spoken to my Rosh Hashiva, Reb Yaakov Eliezer Schwartzman, Zoller Gesund und Stark sein. And based on a pshat from the Ramban, he told me that there are days that are mostly rachamim and a little bit din, and other days that are mostly din and a little bit rachamim. But Purim is kulei rachamim. Kulei rachamim, which means entirely a day of rachamim. The Rosh Hashiva then added a couple years ago, and he based it on Svarim, that that's not only Purim, but it's the 3 days, Tainus Esther, Purim, and Shushan Purim. In other words, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of Adar are all the most unique days known based on the Ramban, as kulei rachamim. Then you may recall in the video that went out 2 years ago, the Rosh Hashiva said from a number of Svarim, an extraordinary segula, something priceless. It's brought down, we know that chapter 22 in Tehillim Chof Beis is known as the capital of Esther Hamalka. Ayeles HaShachar. That's the capital where it says, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtoni. It seems as if Hashem has forsaken us. And there's references in that capital to Achashverosh. This capital, Chof Beis in Tehillim, is known as the capital of Esther Hamalka. These Svarim, the Rosh Hashiva told me, and we speak about it each year before Tainus Esther, says that on these days, a person, and it's an extraordinary segula, should say Kapitel Chof Beis, the one I just quoted, again and again and again, but with Kavana. Slowly, look at the Hebrew, look at the English, say it slowly. And then when they finish saying it a number of times with Kavana, they should say these words, Bishchus Esther Hamalka. Say those words, Bishchus Esther Hamalka, in the merit of Esther Hamalka. And after saying those words, all of your bakashas, all the things that you want to daven for, speak them out b'peh mole, clearly. And my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer Schwartzman Shlita, reminds me, before Tainus Esther, the power of this skula, again to say Kapitul Chof Beis, Ayelas HaShachar, again and again, with Kavana and slowly, then say Bishchus Esther Hamalka, and speak out clearly what your bakashos are. I was speaking to the Rosh Hashiva earlier today. Now again, we're going to be sending this out, Be'ezus Hashem, on a much shorter video tomorrow. But I want you to at least know the behind the scenes. And I made a comment to the Rosh Hashiva. I first asked him a question. I said, based on the Ramban, the days that are Kulei Rachamim are Yud Gimel, Yud Dal, Tezvav, Tainus Esther, Purim, and Shushan Purim. But what about this year? What about this year? This year, the way Purim falls out is very, very unique. You could yourself see the last time we had it was, I believe, 7 years ago, 5777. The time before that was size 774. In the last 20 years, perhaps we've had it three, maybe four times. It's very, very uncommon. So I asked the Rosh Hashiva, we're dealing with 5 days, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. Which are the days that are Kulei Rachamim? According to my understanding, it would be Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, because that would be Tainus Esther, Purim, and Shushan Purim. Right away on the spot, the Rosh Hashiva answered again, we have to conclude the shir, so now is not the time. But in the most elegant, scintillating answer, he explained why Friday and Shabbos would certainly also be included as part of the days that are completely rachamim. He explained why Friday and he explained why Shabbos. Each one was in depth. It was based on an Argad al Yahu. It was based on a number of pshatim from the Arizal. Va'oid, va'oid, va'oid. Maybe one day Be'ezus Hashem will give that shir. But the point the Rosh Hashiva made was that all 5 days, Thursday and Friday and Shabbos and Sunday and Monday, would have that status of the unique Kulei Rachamim. I was quiet for a moment, and then I said to the Rosh Hashiva Shlita, I said, could it be, especially because this type of setup this year is so unusual, could it be that every year there are 3 days that are Kulei Rachamim, but this year, with what Klal Yisrael is going through, the hostages, the soldiers, the families changed forever, Klal Yisrael standing on a such extraordinary sakana and danger, Rachmana Litzlan, could it be that Hashem gave us this year the gift not of 3 days that are Kulei Rachamim, but of 5 days? 5 days, we usually only have three, but now we're being given 5 days to tap into all the things that we mentioned and saying the kapitel again and again with Kavana and everything. Maybe this year, because of what Klal Yisrael is going through, maybe this year we're being given that gift. We don't only have three, we have 5 days. Utilize it. It's such a unique opportunity in the Reshiva. In glowing, glowing terms and response said that this explanation has his full haskama, his complete approval. He really felt that, yes, this year specifically we have the uniqueness of the five, not the three, because of the desperate situation that we're in. I do have to point out before concluding, Shabbos is dealt with a little bit differently, because Shabbos you are not allowed to verbalize bakashos, requests. So on Shabbos, the Rosh Hashiva said, you would do it b'machshava, you would think the bakashos. In other words, in conclusion, we have 5 days that are kulei rachamim. Tap into the school of saying, kapitel chof beis, again and again with Kavana. And then afterwards you say, Bizchus Esther Hamalka. And then on four of the 5 days, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and Monday, verbalize with your peh, speak out all of your bakashos. On Shabbos, the middle of the five, after you say Bizchus Esther Hamalka, since you're not allowed to verbalize bakashos in your machshava, in your thought, that's mutter, that's permitted, think of your bakashos. And so, yes, we're being handed an unusual gift of 5 days that are kulei rachamim. I hope to send out some of these ideas tomorrow on the video. May we be zeicha. Please, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, 5 days that are kulei, 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 kulei rachamim. To Davin, remember, we are Mikem. We're not Adam Kadma or Adam Basra. We are Mikem. We have that unique advantage. We give 100%. Whatever we can salvage, we salvage. Everything's a big deal. Everything makes a difference. Everything with the difficulties brings us extreme closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May it be the will of Hashem Yisbarach that we utilize the uniqueness, not of three, but of 5 days to keep storming Shamayim. We have no one, no force, no being, nothing to rely on other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's utilize those 5 days that are kulei rachamim with the deepest, deepest level of tefillos, so that we won't only be learning about karbonos, but we will merit now to see the karbonos being sacrificed in the third and everlasting Beis HaMikdash. I wish everyone a Freilich and Purim, a Purim where all our tefillos are answered, and we should merit the Gula Shalema b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.